Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by HelloFresh. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80 and enter Ghost80. $80 off your first month. Get in on that. HelloFresh.com/Ghost80 and enter Ghost80.
Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, can a person become possessed? The short answer is yes. As for how, that's for another discussion. Today, we hear several stories of people being taken over by forces other than their own. Also, who is the spirit in a motorcycle outfit haunting a young teen? And a child battles a force with one mission. That mission? Possession.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to me. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP. You become one at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We kind of have a new layout to the office here. Are your headphones good?
No, they're still way loud.
They're still way loud. Okay. I wasn't sure which switch I was. I haven't labeled these ones yet. Is this getting better for you? Is this the right one?
That's better. Much better.
Okay. There we go. And okay, you're that input over there.
Okay.
There's like three things over there to turn and mess with, and I wasn't sure which one your headphone was plugged into.
So. That is worlds better. Thank you.
That's why I was looking at you strangely. And you're like, what? I'm like, nothing. But that's all it was.
Okay.
So, okay, there we go. So we kind of got a new setup here. It's same room. We just, kind of rearrange things.
You got to do that every once in a while so you stay creative, you know?
Well, we got new floor in the studio, and it was kind of one of those moments where everything had to be moved. So it was like, it's kind of like now or, I'm going to have to rip everything up again later. And it's like, just do it. Just,
Yeah.
So anyway, the recording of this show several weeks after we did our live show in Eureka Springs at the Haunted Crescent Hotel, as far as it airing. But for us, it was like a couple days ago.
It was. Yeah.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Lots of folks came out. We did sell out. We actually went over the sellout number, and I was able to add on a few more tickets to get a few more folks through the door. So if you made it, thank you for coming out. We had a great time. The question right away was, are you going to do more of these?
And I think we are.
Yeah. I think so. I'm even curious about trying to do this thing annually down at the Crescent, just because it's such a cool location. It's so, you know, it's out of the way.
Yeah.
For almost every human being. Yeah. But it is one of those neat places where it's fun to go to. I know a lot of folks made a weekend out of it. So thank you guys all for coming out and enjoying the weekend with us. We did definitely appreciate that. Let's jump over to our first story today. And of course, like I said, if you have a story you want to share with us, you can call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 855-853-4802. First story of the day says, I have always been sensitive to hearing and seeing things. I can remember being a tween and seeing a shadowy man dressed in motorcycle clothes, black leather and a full helmet, coming out of my sister's room. I can still see when he puts a gloved finger to where his lips would be, as if telling me, shh, before he turned and walked down the hall and out the door. And then I heard a motorcycle rev up. A few years later, I learned that the people who sold my parents the house had a son who died in a motorcycle accident, and his room was the room my sisters slept in. Several years later, most of that hearing, creaks that weren't normal in the house, sounds, smelling weird cologne of my dad that he didn't use, seeing shadows that shouldn't have been there. I got married and moved less than 10 minutes away from my parents. After 2 months of marriage, my husband agreed to get a camera to keep an eye out on our two dogs while we were out. I remember showing my aunt the live feed, and on that day, there was a shadow man, a different build from the motorcycle man, that walked from my wall in front of my dogs and their kennels into our staircase. I watched my dog's head move with him while barking their heads off. One dog, a few months after this, started barking at the stairs, refused to go up unless my husband was up there with her. I constantly hear an elderly man and elderly woman have soft yelling matches, if that even makes sense. I would always look outside to see which neighbors were arguing, but no one would be outside. During one of the arguments, I turned my head where I heard the voices and I heard, shh, she's looking. But all of that had nothing on when we had our baby. In the baby monitor, I've seen the baby's mobile move. I've seen shadows walking across the room from the closet to the crib, and I've seen a hand caressing my child's hair. I've seen toys knocked, I've heard tapping in the closet. It got to the point where I was terrified to open the closet door. My husband humored me and let me buy a cross made from wood from Bethlehem. One in Israel, not Pennsylvania, that we hung up overlooking the crib. And then one night, the baby woke up screaming. I went to the nursery to calm her down, and every time her head was facing the closet, she'd scream and bury her head into my shoulder. I contacted a paranormal group and they came out to investigate the house. The report sent back to me had a recording of a loud thump when one of the investigators asked whatever was in my daughter's room to make a noise. I also have clips from the spirit box session where the names of the men investigating were said, but not the women. And when asked what the name of the thing in my house was, the clip has my name in it. 2 months later, I was in my daughter's room getting her out of the crib, and I looked up after hearing my dog growl, and I saw in my daughter's mirror, showing the reflection of my room, a man with red hair gathered in a ponytail at the base of the neck, olive green pants, and a color shirt I can't name, and a burgundy vest over the shirt. He was looking at my bed on my side, and then he looked up, and I saw black holes where eyes should have been. That was April of 2019. I know he's still there. I can feel him watching me from the staircase. My daughter, who is currently 15 months old, will point and smile and sometimes clap as her eyes and head move and follow something moving around the ceiling. I'd asked to move several times, but after explaining my childhood and everything I've experienced back in February of 2019 when the investigation occurred, the lead investigator gave his honest opinion. It's not the house that's haunted. It's me.
That's the worst thing they can tell you, I think. That's awful. And, you know, I guess my biggest question would be then, if I'm haunted, how am I haunted? Who's haunting me? How many things are haunting me? And for how long?
Can you get rid of it? Like, when you get sprayed by a skunk, wasn't it like bathe in V8 or something? Or tomato juice?
Yeah. No, I don't think tomato juice is going to get rid of that.
What about like a sage bath? Sage and salt bath?
I don't know.
I'm actually kind of serious. I'm halfway joking and I'm halfway serious, because if you can cleanse items that are haunted, if you did a little sage every day in the bath or in the shower or something, would that also help a little bit? Or you know, just keeping your surroundings saged. I don't know. I mean, that obviously does seem to work for some things. But, you know, head and shoulders, dandruff and demon control. You add a little sage to that. That might, I don't know.
I don't know.
There's never really a true good answer to people who are haunted as far as how to make that stop. Mm-hmm. Some folks have found ways, it seems, of turning off their sensitivity or being less aware of it. But I think sometimes no matter what you do, you can't get away from it.
Right.
So thank you for sharing that. That'd be terrifying where it's affecting your kids and all, and you know it's you.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's you that's bringing it in. Thanks for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. All right, back to the ghost stories in just a minute. Our supporter today is HelloFresh. I love these guys. If you've never tried this meal kit delivery service, you have got to see what it's all about, especially kids are back in school. We're kind of out of the summer, you know, routines, kind of back into regular life. And extra time, something most of us don't have a whole hell of a lot of. HelloFresh can truly, truly be a lifesaver. Your time is worth a lot. And HelloFresh takes having to go to the grocery store out of the equation, takes meal planning out of the equation. It just shows up on your doorstep. And oh my God, you have nutritious, delicious meals, probably better than the stuff you would have picked out at the grocery store to begin with, right there and ready for you. It's America's number one meal kit, easy seasonal recipes, pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. All you have to do is cook and enjoy. The pre-measured part, I absolutely love. I love cooking. I don't like the prep work of cooking, and HelloFresh takes most of that out of the equation. It makes cooking delicious meals at home a reality, regardless of your comfort in the kitchen. It's so simple. Even if you're into someone who, you know, you struggle with mac and cheese, trust me, you're going to do HelloFresh for a week, you're going to be like, oh my God, I didn't know it could be this easy. Step-by-step recipes, pre-measured ingredients. It's everything you need to get a wow-worthy dinner in just 30 minutes or less. Say goodbye to endless grocery store trips and takeout food. HelloFresh has you covered, okay? It is awesome. It is simple. It is delicious. Totally flexible, too. Their meal plans, you can choose so many options out of them. I mean, just listen to this. Here's some of the options that I'm seeing right now as we're looking at this. Sesame beef tacos this week with quick pickled veggies and chili crema. Cherry balsamic pork chops, garlic herb couscous, and roasted broccoli. Ginger apricot pork chops with butterfly rice, roasted green beans in there. One of their best recipes of 2019 is a roasted veggie caprese bowls with farro and balsamic vinaigrette. Sweet heat shrimp tempura bowls, sesame roasted broccoli, avocado. It's awesome. They have something for all different types of diets, all different food tastes. You get so many options to choose from each week, which is lovely to get to. Getting options and variety when it comes to a meal box, what a concept. Check it out for yourself, and you'll see exactly what I mean. Right now, you can get $80 off your first month. $80 off your first month. It's insane. It's like, you know, you're getting free meals here. $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. All right. Enter Ghost80. $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80 and enter Ghost80. Next one says, I don't know if you read all of my first story, but here's the beginning of when this first happened. It was back in January of 1980. I was 7 years old that Sunday. My mother had taken me to church for the first time in my life. I didn't know much about God or the devil at that time. We'd never gone to church before that. I know I went with her a couple of times before she had an aneurysm in her brain and passed away just weeks later. Immediately, I was sent to live with my grandmother because my father was 28 at the time and said he could not take care of me. I was feeling lost and depressed due to my mom passing and my dad leaving me. At that time, my grandmother was Catholic and took me to her church. As we walked into the church, I felt like something was following me, and I got really scared and told my grandma that I wanted to go home. She said, everything will be fine. We're in the house of the Lord. We sat next to some candles that were burning. I still had a very bad feeling and looked back at the entry of the church. We were making eye contact with an older gentleman. Something didn't look right in his eyes. I told my grandma that the man scared me. She didn't say anything. To my horror, that man came and sat behind me. I felt like he was just staring at me, but was too afraid to turn around. The priest started to speak and read from the Bible, and one of the candles next to me burst. One of the ushers came and cleaned it up. Moments later, I felt something thrashing around under my seat. Remember, I was only 7, so my feet didn't come close to touching the ground. As I bent over to look to see what was under my seat, all I saw was a man's eyes looking at me from beneath my seat. The whites of his eyes were yellowish red. I was terrified. I stood up on the pew and was ready to run, but my grandma held me down, and the ushers came and carried out the man. When it was time to leave, I looked back, and the man was standing in the doorway, walking back and forth. I told my grandma I never want to go back to that church again. If we're going to go to church, he wanted to go to one my mom took me to. So she agreed. Later that night, I was in my grandmother's room with her and 2 of my cousins. We were just talking about all the good times we had with my mom. On the wall of her bedroom, she had a brand new statue of the Virgin Mary. It's a head that a friend had given her as a gift for the loss of her daughter, my mom. My cousin just happened to look at it as we were talking and said, "Looks like it's crying." To my horror, tears were coming down its face. I didn't see. It had a blessing, as my grandma did. To me, it felt more sinister. I got the same feeling as I did back at the church, that whatever followed us to the church came home with us. I know at one point when I was a bit older, something was trying to possess me. One night we went to an evening service at church, and during the service I would feel a pressure on my chest. It made it hard for me to breathe. I felt like I just had to get out of there. As I ran out of the church, a woman stopped me and took me to another room. She called in a youth pastor and some other people, and I remember them praying over me. I felt so bad, like my heart was being torn out with this tremendous pressure on my chest. I remember feeling so angry and hot. I could feel the heat coming out of my body. They must have prayed for me all night. By the time it was over, I could see the sun coming up, where I felt calm, loving peace. During the years that passed, it seems like it would come back, but never to enter me again, but to try and scare, confuse me. And now I feel it's after my son.
That feeling that she described with the not being able to breathe, we had somebody come up and talk to us about that at the show, about how once they entered the hotel, they had that feeling. Do you remember?
Kind of.
Okay. I know we talked to a lot of listeners, but I thought that was interesting because he said that, you know, nowhere else did he have that except the few times he'd been in that hotel.
Yeah. I do remember that. Mm-hmm. He was a skeptical gentleman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like, I kind of believe, kind of don't. But he had like more experiences to share than even the person that he was with. It seemed, didn't he?
They both had some, but I think he was still firmly on the skeptical side, but he was, I think, looking for a explanation as to why he couldn't breathe in that hotel.
I think he was almost like wanting an answer from us.
Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, mold. It's like, nope.
No.
Not that. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. There's a lot of folks who are skeptical, and that's fine. I think being skeptical is good.
Mm-hmm.
You want to try and find logical answers, because in a lot of cases, there is a logical explanation for things. But sometimes there's just not.
Right.
And sometimes it's just, well, I think there might be something else going on here. Very creepy story. What I was surprised by in that story was the part of the man in the church that got drug out. At first, I was thinking it sounded more like it was some sort of thing that only this person was seeing.
Right.
I didn't expect it to be. And then the church ushers dragged the man out of the church. Mm-hmm. And then he's wandering around the narthex, the entry of the church. It's like, that seems a bit odd.
Yeah. I guess I'm not quite following what that is.
Yeah, because other people involved, it sounded ghostly, and then it sounded like, oh, it's some sort of creepy predator type person that's crawling under churches looking up people's dresses or something, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I got out of it.
Okay.
Simply by the fact that they drug him out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm going there. But I think that would be enough for me to be like, I'm never going in that building again.
Right.
But Was there a connection going on there to that person having something going on with them, you know, demonically, or just being a really horrible person? I mean, it's hard to know with something like that.
I just think maybe that she's sensitive and could tell that that person was not right before they even started doing any questionable behavior.
Yeah, she spotted them in from a distance and just knew that something's not right with that individual. Thanks for sharing that one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's hear a call. Hi.
Hi, Tony. My name is Tabitha. I'm calling in as a fairly new listener. I've been listening now for a little over a year, and I enjoy listening to the stories. I do appreciate them. They've had such a good measure in my life and just kind of confirmation. I will say that for the most. And listening to other people's stories allows me to kind of elaborate on the things that have happened in my life. So just to start a little background on me, I think I've always been kind of sensitive to certain things, but I didn't really know that that's what it was, a sensitivity. So, I'm trying to figure out how to start this off so I can make sense of it. All my life, I've always had instances where I've always felt things and not really understood what they were or what they meant. I'll start in the earlier part of my life. It was in maybe late elementary school is when I started to notice things. The first instance that ever happened to me was when I was, I believe it was maybe 7th or 8th grade, and I was sleeping, and I shared a room with my little sister and my twin, and I was sleeping. It was early morning, and it had to be early in the morning, like maybe 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up very suddenly, and my bed was shaking. Now, it wasn't shaking like Poltergeist, like the movie, but it was more so a very subtle shaking feeling. And I woke up and sat up slightly in my bed and called across to my little sister. I called to my twin. She was in the bed across from me, and she didn't wake. She was sound asleep. And then I called to my younger sister, who was like diagonal from me, in the bed diagonal from where my bed was. And I said, "Hey, do you feel that? Is there an earthquake? Is there something that's going on? Do you feel that?" And she sat up just a little bit in her bed, and she looked at me and kind of just, I guess she was just trying to assess, excuse the background, I'm on a base. I do apologize if that's, so she sat up just a little bit. She kind of assessed what I was saying, and then she said to me, "Tabitha, go to sleep. Go to sleep. You're dreaming." And I couldn't get back to sleep, of course, because I didn't know what it was. It's weird because the feeling that I felt was not necessarily that of being afraid, but more so like, what's happening? You know, I was just kind of alarmed, and I really didn't understand what was happening. I didn't know how to take that. And so I really just kind of let it be that and left it at there. And so and all the other instances that has happened to me, I just kind of like, okay, this is happening again, and never mind. As I got older, I'm in my 30s now. That has happened to me intermittently throughout my life. And I'm married, been married for almost 16, 17 years now, together 17, married 15. And my husband has been in the living room. We're sitting down, we're enjoying our time together, maybe watching a TV show or something, and he's been sitting next to me and would feel the vibration of, say, like the couch, or he's been in bed with me or we're resting and he would feel that same vibration. So it's not just me, and this has always been with me. So this has been with me since childhood. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what to say. I've tried to share this with other people, but I'd always get like the side eye, like the look that people get, like they're hearing me, but it's like, you know, maybe they won't talk to me to this point in time. So I don't share it with everyone. So that's been my instances. And I'd like, you know, if anyone could give an overview of what that could possibly be, because I'm very interested to know. I don't know what that is. I've heard many of conclusions or ideas of what it could be. Could be, you know, some things from reading up about things concerning this phenomena from people who are visiting you, to it being your own energy just kind of resonating or kind of putting itself out in that way, like a, I don't know, telekinesis, but I don't know. I had instances where I'm a cat lover. I have cats everywhere. I've always had cats in my household. And each place that I've been, it doesn't matter what apartment or home that I've been in, my last two cats, my last cat, Elliot, passed away, but we moved into an apartment in Massachusetts. And the first night there, it was a very kind of like scary, eerie feeling that I had taken on. I was pregnant with my now 6-year-old child, and my husband worked nights, and it was we had to wait for the delivery of our furniture. That being said, it felt very open and very unnerving to be there by myself with my oldest child and expecting. It was very eerie feeling. But in this same apartment, we have plenty of family that comes over and spends the night. We're a big family, and we have people that come and they stay with us, stay the night with us children, and including our children, my husband and I. And we've had many instances that of things that have happened in that apartment, from the first night just feeling very eerie and off foot, to my cats skidding across the floor as if, you know, when cats get alarmed or afraid, they kind of arch up or they spray their tails, like fan their tails out, and kind of you can see the arrest of the hair on their bodies. And Elliot did that, and I knew something was there. I always felt that way. I've had instances where toys would move and seemingly move on their own and really have no explanation for that. So I've had those instances. But the most alarming, our child who was born on the 25th, I believe he's sensitive, is when he, like when we first moved in that apartment, we had their children would come to us and say, "Mom, did you call us?" Or, "Hey, Dad, did you call us?" And this would happen like regularly. Like they'd come around like, "Yes, Mom, did you call? Dad, did you call?" "No, we didn't call you." What? He said, "Mom, I heard you call. You called us. You called me. That's why I came around the corner." I said, "No." And this happened like on and off for months. And then at one point in time, I heard my mother call my name. And then it stopped. And then it would be hard for us to like even... When we did start to call them and we were very vocal about it, very loud, they wouldn't come. But the scariest part was when our two youngest would walk around and they would growl. And they would kind of say things like, "Mommy, I'm afraid," or "Mommy, I don't..." They would just say they were afraid and didn't really have a reason why. And my six-year-old, would ask me, and just randomly, out of the blue, would say things like, "Mom, are you my mom? Are you my real mom?" And I really didn't pay too much attention to it until I started putting all the pieces together as time went along, and he would ask me that. And he would do this more often than not. He would say to me, "Mom, are you my mom? Are you my real mom?" And then our 4-year-old, she would ask the same questions and not at the same time as him. It's not like she was repeating her older brother. You know, the siblings do. They kind of, you know, emulate one another from time to time. But they would do that. And then, you know, the those things that would happen, and weird things like things being misplaced, things being in one place that we would leave them. Like my husband will leave something someplace and would ask me if I moved it, and then we would find it in another location. Or other instances where I can't recall all in once. Probably should have just wrote it down before I called in and left the message. But I guess my main thing to take away is just being alarmed and having our child ask me if I was his real mother. "Are you my real mom?" And I asked, I said, why do you think I'm not your real mom? And he would just kind of like write it off and move on to the next topic of conversation. And then just, it just kind of, it's just very off-putting, you know? And so now that we're in this new place in Mississippi, the same things are happening. Now it could be something as simple as, "Hey, you know, the house that we're in, there's a creature that got into, you know, maybe the udders on top of the roof. But the other night, my husband and I were just kind of waiting. Everyone falls asleep. The house was quiet, and we're just, you know, heading into sleepy land. And, you know, we hear this noise on the roof. And, you know, hey, do you hear that? Yeah, I hear that. Well, what could that be? Well, maybe something is living up there. We don't know, you know. But we have one room, the child that I said was sensitive to, he does not want to go in that room. He is very vehement about not going in that room. And so, you know, I haven't done anything to really bless the home, as some would call it or say, just playing it by ear, but I don't feel, it's kind of like those sensitivities that I picked up or pick up in a place, I'm picking up at this location. And I'm very hesitant to listen to things like your show, even in my home. I only do it when I'm not here. I'm driving, or I'm not in a space that I want to relax in, per se. Listening to the show has allowed me to kind of build up a certain resiliency, so not to be alarmed or afraid of these things. More so, having people explain, or just kind of both your shows, not just this one, allows me to kind of have a better understanding, because if you understand things that help, I think it's better to how to move forward, you know, not to be afraid to address these things, because, yes, I do believe, I'm a scientific person, and I do believe the law of conservation, you know, energy never dies, it just transforms form. It just changes state. So, you know, these are vessels, this is my belief. They have energy, they contain our souls, and then when we pass our bodies, our self-succession, our bodies pass, and we go on another plane, or we don't. And then on top of that, I believe, as I always hear you say, those are entities that never were human, and they possess a different kind of ability to be able to do things differently than what we were ever able capable to, well, some of us were able to do in our terrestrial lives. So I love the show. I wish I had all the time in the world to be able to listen to every single show. I still have a lot to catch up on. But I do appreciate just being able to have this forum.
There's a lot touched on there, but I think the main thing that I want to talk about is the sensitivity of her and probably some of her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I know she thinks one of her kids is sensitive, but I'd be suspicious that maybe more than one is, because more than one are sensitive since they're both asking these questions, and they're not really like figuring this out on their own. Like, I'm going to go ask mom this, and then you go ask mom this.
Mm-hmm.
It's more so something's putting this idea in their head to question whether or not she's their real mom.
That seems like a very either messed up individual, like a person.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, oh, I'm going to screw with this kid now. Or something really dark that's trying to turn them away from, yeah, from the parental figure that may, you know, provide some guidance away from whatever the hell this is.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on the intention?
Well, I don't think it's good whenever something takes over the sound of a voice that's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So when the kids are hearing her voice and it's not her voice, that's not, I don't think that's something that's good. It's meant to be devious and deceitful.
Yeah.
It's probably the same thing that's taking on the voice of her mom, because she said she heard her mom's, mm-hmm, voice too. So those types of things aren't just, oh, it's somebody who used to live here and they still love the place and they just want to hang out and be, mm-hmm, you know, Casper. This is something that's got some intention.
I agree. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here on the show. Our phone number, if you want to share yours, is 855-853-4802. Writing on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Another caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. My name's Candace. I'm from New Hampshire. I have a couple different ghost stories to tell, but for one, I'll just stick with one for today. Kind of a quick one. So my best friend and I have been best friends first grade, and unfortunately her dad passed away very unexpectedly about 2 years ago. So her and I both visit his grave numerous times a month, just cleaning up the grave and making sure it looks nice and keep it respectable. And one of her dad's favorite things to do was to sit down and have a beer. And so every time we go to clean up the grave, whether it's her and I or just one of us, we always bring a beer and set one on his grave and drink one for ourselves while sitting there. And one time I was there and I was just doing some gardening and weeding and stuff and just cleaning up around the grave and stuff. And after I had finished, I set down a beer on his grave and sat down next to him. And I got distracted by something over near my car. And so I walked over to my car and was looking at whatever I got distracted by. And when I came back, the full beer can that I had set on his grave was completely empty, but the beer can itself was still closed. It's like the beer inside the can just vanished. And I've seen some other stuff happen around his grave, like little shadows and stuff like that, and just weird coincidences like that, but that was one thing that really stuck out to me, was the beer just vanished in the can. I have a couple other stories, but I'll save those for another time. I love your show, and okay, see you later. Bye.
That's going to be hard to explain.
I don't think there really is a way to explain that one.
No, because if it were leaking, you would have known it was leaking when you brought it. Mm-hmm. So that's not probably what's going on, especially if, you know, if it emptied that fast, yeah. Too.
I would completely agree. Thank you for sharing that experience. It's kind of an interesting little, hi, I'm still here from the other side message.
Yeah.
In their own unique way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you for calling in and sharing that one. Our number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, if you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. You sign up for that. And when you do that, you get bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, and access to our archive of more than 5 years of EPP bonus episodes. There's like 260 some there for you to binge away on ghostpodcast.com or through patreon.com/real ghost stories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.